The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
This year, the fourth Torah reading of the third book of Vayikra is actually a combination of two portions, Tazria and Torah. That the common content of these two portions is the discussing disease and the healing of disease according to the Torah. And the archetypical disease of the Torah is called Tzara'at, which is usually translated as leprosy. Whether it really means what is now known as leprosy or not is another question. But it's definitely a disease of the skin, as the Torah points out. And the healing of this disease, which is the all-inclusive disease, because the Torah does not discuss, especially at length, with a multitude of laws of how to deal and treat this disease. It doesn't discuss other diseases like this, meaning that this disease must be the all-inclusive disease of the Torah. And if we're able to heal this disease, it means that we'll have the power, the knowledge, and the insight to heal all diseases on earth, which is one of the signs of the coming of Mashiach, that all diseases will be healed. So therefore, we have to meditate this week upon the secret of what the Torah teaches us about how to deal with this disease of Tzara'at in order to heal it. So like any other phenomenon in the Torah, the first thing is to observe and meditate upon the letters of the very word itself, the root of the word. Now, a few weeks ago, when we were discussing the first Torah reading of this book, Vayikra, so we observed a very, very beautiful, important phenomenon that there are seven different groups of three letters. There are seven different three-letter groups of words in the Hebrew language, all of whose six permutations, the six possible permutations of three different letters, all permutations themselves are roots in the Hebrew language. The phenomenon that we discussed a few weeks ago is the word karev, which is korban, the root of sacrifice. And we saw also a very important thing, that whenever you have such a phenomenon of all permutations being roots, which is most rare, but also a very, very beautiful phenomenon about the Hebrew language. And there are exactly seven such examples. So in all of these examples, there are elements, but part of those six permutations have, when taken individually, very negative meanings. But when taken as a whole, the whole purifies and rectifies all of the individual parts, that each part is necessary for the whole. The very fact that you have to have something negative in order to complete the whole, that itself, that recognition, purifies that part which otherwise, when taken as a single phenomenon, would be negative. This is just like it says that when the Jewish people has to pray together, we have to include in our prayers all of the spectrum of Jewish souls, whether they're righteous or whether they're even wicked souls. If we don't have them all together, we're not complete and our prayers do not go up and become received by Hashem. So this is also reflected in the Hebrew language itself, which is the secret of all creation, that we have that all, when we have a phenomenon of all different permutations being roots, it's important that some of them should have very negative implications. And simply by the fact that they're all together, they all must be together in order to make it the cycle complete, that is what purifies all. So here we have another example, which is the root of this disease, which is the tzara, the root of tzadik, which is I. And it is one of those seven examples that has all of the six permutations to it. Well, in short, go through all the six just to begin our meditation of this week. You have Tsara, which means leprosy, or the way it's translated, leprosy. The next one is Tsar. Tsar means hardship or pain. So the relation between pain and leprosy, that seems to fit pretty well together. The next one is Ra'atz, which means to smash. The next one is Ratzah. Ratzah also means to give stripes to someone. To strip something of a leather strip. It's called a Ritzu'ah. But it's usually used in order to give stripes, which is a punishment. The next one is Atzah, which means to halt, to stop. And the final one is Aratz. That Aratz means it's a certain way to give honor to someone, but usually it's giving honor to someone who is an Aritz, who is fearful, because you're afraid of him, because he's powerful. So you respect him because of his power. But it's not such a positive implication in general. So we see that all of these things, even it's not just one or two are negative, they all seem, in this cycle, they all seem to be very, very negative, these all of these words. There are these six words that begin with Tsara. So by recognizing the Geiger going through, as we said, that this is the manner in which Abu Lafia, the great Kabbalist, would meditate and teaches us to meditate. Going through the images one after the other in our mind's eye and trying to experience, to live through this cycle of images. And by living through the cycle of images, one heals the leprosy. In order in general to change a permutation, it says that a person has to be at the level of nothingness, of ayin. Only if you have reached the level of nothingness can you take the letters and rearrange them. This means experientially, or really in reality, can you take letters like building blocks, and you're able to take them apart and put them together like blocks in a different order. Spiritually, in order to do that itself, you have to be nothing. Or you have to be at the level of nothingness, which is the inner point of wisdom of the divine soul, as explained in Kabbalah and Hasidut. So if a person is already at that level of nothingness, he's able not just to externally go through these six words, is able to really experience and live through these six stages as a cycle. And even the great Mekubal Abu Lafi used to say that the faster you do it, the better. But the cycling around in one's consciousness, the higher the level you're at, according to Abu Lafi, the faster you go through all of the images, meaning that the ultimate limit is that they all appear simultaneously. That's the limit of fastness, of speed. So again, what are our images? It's leprosy and pain and to smash and stripes and to halt. To halt has another meaning. It also means to rule. So it's like, so one of the words that means kingship or ruling, because the king is a person that's able to halt his people. Halt his people actually means to bring them together and to stop them from expanding in a way which is anarchic. To give order, as it's called nowadays, law and order to his people. To achieve a state of law and order in the country, that's called halting the people. So that's one of the words, one of these words here, which is Atzar. The next, the final word is Aritz, which also means a ruler. Usually a almost tyrant type of ruler that one respects because of fear. So once more, all these things seem to have very, very negative connotations to them and sounds to them, we'll call it, vibes. But taken as a whole, the whole purifies and elevates it all to Kedusha, because what all these are holy Hebrew words. And that itself, being able to conceive of all these together and proceed from one to the other at ultimate speed, actually, is the manifestation of one's ayin, of one's nothingness, which is the true power of healing. So that all disease derives from somethingness. Somethingness is ego. And nothingness is the power to heal all disease. Nothing is also the power to run through these permutations. Now, we'll return to the initial permutation. The initial permutation, Sara, is the sages themselves explain that Sara alludes to Motsira. It's as though it's an acronym for he gave out evil. He emitted evil. What does it allude to? It alludes to speaking slander or bad, the evil tongue, to say bad things about other people. That if a person talks slanderous and says bad things about other people, according to the sages, even if it's true, it doesn't matter. But if you say bad things about other people, that is the origin of disease. Once more, the sages derive that from simply meditating upon this word itself, upon the root, tzadikra. That the tzadik, the first letter, is taken as a word, motzi, to emit, whose most important letter is the tzadik, the letter tzadik. And then the last two letters of the root are just taken at face value, that it means evil. But if we will now try to delve even one step deeper into the very same way that the sages meditate and derive their thought of what this word implies. So we simply say that the first letter is tzaddik. A tzaddik is a righteous soul. That the first letter of this all-inclusive disease is a tzaddik, but the last two letters are ra. So the root is virtually just tzaddik, ra. What does that mean? That you have a righteous soul who's evil. How can you be righteous and evil at the same time? So the way this is explained is that there is a tzaddik viralo. There's a person who's a righteous soul, but he has bad. Now the simple meaning of it has bad, that bad things happen to him in his life, even though he's 100% righteous. There's one of the things that says it's impossible for us to fathom. It's one of the deceitful phenomena about this world. That you can have a righteous soul that goes through bad experiences. And it's impossible to know why God, who is all good and all loving, takes a righteous soul and gives him bad experiences in his life. That's the simple meaning of tzaddik ra, tzaddik virado. Now why does this pertain especially to this disease? Because the way that the Torah describes, when it begins to describe the disease, it says Adam ki yebo or b'saro neged tzarat, when a man has in the skin of his flesh this leprosy, this disease of leprosy. That's the initial phrase that the Torah uses. So what is special about that phrase? It begins, it calls the leper a Adam, a man. Now that word man is a very, very high connotation of a human being. There are many different levels of it being a human being. The very highest of all is Adam. So most unusually, when talking about who this leper is, it's an Adam. Must be the highest name of a human being, which is a tzaddik. It's even taught in Kabbalah and Hasidut that this is one of the reasons that this disease doesn't actually exist nowadays. we said before, the fact that we call it leprosy doesn't mean that it's the now known leprosy. It's a disease which is already extinct. Even though it's the origin of all the, it's still the origin of all present diseases. But it itself is not present. Why? Because it said that there's no person at such a high level of righteousness that is able nowadays in our time to be worthy of having this terrible disease. That really seems strange, but that's exactly the way it's explained in Kabbalah and Hasidut, meaning that this is the ultimate, this disease is the ultimate phenomenon of a tzaddik having bad. Now in Hasidut, a tzaddik viralu, a tzaddik that bad things happen, is not just that bad things happen to him. It's explained that there must be a reason why bad things happen to him. Even though he is a tzaddik, he is not yet a 100% consummate tzaddik, which is called a tzaddik gamur. And because he still has one iota of being drawn, we'll call it gravity, has some gravitational attraction still in the depth of his unconscious to evil, that one drop of gravitation towards evil is what is responsible, even though, because he's such a great tzaddik, because he still has that one little drop of unconscious attraction to evil, that's what results in the fact that in his life he's given a lot of negative things, which is all in order to atone and rectify that one little drop that remains. If he wouldn't just have one drop, he would be fuller. If he was like an intermediate soul, that's discussed in the Tanya, he wouldn't have to undergo those things, because it wouldn't be for him. It's not necessary for him. If he's a really great tzaddik, he's also, even if he undergoes bad things in his life, he remains happy and believing in God. Not only does it not disturb him from his perfect faith in God, in fact, it even enhances it. It's very hard to say, but it's what is called a sameach b'yisurim. He's even happy. He can be happy with God, knowing that it's all coming from God, which then will ultimately be the origin of his healing, of his full and complete healing. This very leper, when he becomes healed, who does he turn into? So even in the Talmud it says he is the Mashiach. The Mashiach is a leper, it says, nowadays. He's a leper that's sitting in the gateway of Rome, it says, which means Western civilization. And he's waiting to be redeemed and to be able to reveal himself. For the time being, is a leper. Once more, his whole leprosy is the ultimate tzaddik, who was once more, so long as the world exists as the way it exists, in its unrectified state of being, even in him there's still one drop, even if that drop is his identification with all of humanity. If he wouldn't have identity with humanity, he could never redeem humanity. So the fact that the tzaddik, however great he is, still is connected to the world, must be connected to the world, so he still has this one drop of attraction. What does it mean, attraction? Attraction to the world, even though the world is unrectified. So paradoxically, there's something good about that attraction, something bad about that attraction. Nonetheless, how is this all connected with what Chazal say, that the sages say that the leprosy has to do with evil, the evil tongue? Sometimes a great tzaddik, because of his frustration of the redemption not yet being here, that he possesses within himself the potential, he knows in himself that he has this inner potential to help the world and to redeem the world, but things, the world does not allow him to do it, and he's frustrated about that. So sometimes, even not aware of himself, some bad word can be emitted in criticism, or we'll call it blaming, that he blames someone else or society. As soon as he even unwittingly blames someone else, that's his, at his level, that's his evil tongue, which then makes him able to suffer, or makes him worthy, in quotation marks, to receive this this disease of sarat. That's called tzadik viralo. So what then is the, now is another tikkun, another rectification of the state. The rectification is to be over aware of not ever blaming society, whether it's society in general or whether it's certain individuals in society, for you, for me, not revealing in full my messianic potential. Because actually every human being has messianic potential. At that level he's a tzaddik. But and every, the more that he has it actually, the more frustrated he is that it's not revealed. And because of that, he can become seduced by the remnant of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination to blame external reality. At the same time, this is because of the fact that he's really connected, which also has its bad and good side to it. That he loves people, even wicked people, has a certain attraction to them. Without full, absolute ability to distinguish between their good and their bad. Not always can I know and distinguish in you your good side and your bad side. If I love you, so I take it all. I have to love all, everything. If a person would be a very, very high level of consciousness, so even in loving you, it would be absolutely clear, as explained in Tanya, that I'm loving your holy side and not the other side. But most everyone, even a great tzaddik, is not always able to reach that level. And loving is more important than not loving, than the opposite. So he also has, still remains in him, some element of attraction to the evil. And that also what makes him liable to suffer this messianic disease of Surat. And through all of these thoughts and ability to understand his situation, this, and the existential situation, the existential frustration of Moshiach not yet being here, this itself is the way to heal, and the ultimate healing is the manifestation, the revelation of all of one's messianic potential until the true and whole Moshiach appears. So this indeed may be in the Torah the most messianic portion that discusses this archetypal disease of Tzaraat, whose word simply means tzaddik ra, that tzaddik, and still there's evil there. And the healing is the coming of the Mashiach.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Interdimensional homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galina means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah. to discover God and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Gaudi Night team and participate with Rabbi Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Gaudi Night team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Gaudi Night team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.